All right, so today we're going to deep dive into something that's like really at the heart of how our neighborhoods in Deer Park, LaPorte, Pasadena, how they actually change and grow.
Yeah, and a lot of times how they don't change, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like there's this kind of unspoken agreement, this grand bargain that's been shaping things for quite a while.
Right. And it basically says, look, most of the neighborhoods that are already here, they're going to pretty much stay the same. So if you're in, say, a single family home neighborhood in Deer Park, the assumption has been, well, it's going to stay mostly single family homes.
Right. And on the surface, that sounds pretty good to a lot of people, right? Like you kind of know what to expect. Your street in Pasadena isn't suddenly going to transform into something completely different overnight.
Yeah, that's definitely part of the initial appeal. It gives people a sense of predictability
Yeah.
that their property values, as they are now, will hold steady.
Exactly. Stability, right. But here's the thing, and this is what we really dug into in our research for this. There's this flip side to this whole stability thing.
Yeah, this bargain basically means that if most areas are staying put, then a small number of neighborhoods, often the ones that are already struggling or maybe don't have as much say in things, they end up bearing the brunt of new development. It's like all the change gets concentrated there.
So while your little corner of LaPorte might look almost exactly the same 5, 10 years down the line, another neighborhood not too far away could be undergoing this massive, rapid redevelopment.
Exactly. It's like an all or nothing situation. And honestly, from what we've been looking at, it's just not a system that works well in the long run, for the community as a whole.
It creates these winners and losers, and that's not really intentional. It just kind of happens because of this unspoken deal.
Right. And to understand how we got here, we have to go back a bit. This whole thing kind of stems from the way neighborhoods were built after World War II. Think about those big planned communities that were all built at once with the idea that they were like finished products from the get-go.
Oh, yeah, like the classic suburbs, right. You weren't buying into a neighborhood that would change over time. You were buying into something that was presented as complete.
Yeah. And the message, even if they didn't say it outright, was buy a house here and it's going to stay looking like this, feeling like this.
Frozen in time almost. But, and this is a key point from our research, neighborhoods aren't static things.
They can't be. There's wear and tear on everything. Your roof needs replacing in Pasadena, your neighbor's siding needs work, the sidewalks start cracking. And when a whole neighborhood is built at the same time, like in those post-war developments, all this stuff starts needing fixing at around the same time, decades later.
Right. And suddenly you've got this huge cost burden across a whole neighborhood, and the property taxes that are coming in don't necessarily cover it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you have this underlying financial fragility. What seemed stable in the present is actually setting the stage for instability down the road.
And that's where this grand bargain comes back into play.
Right, because one way that cities have dealt with this financial pressure is by, well, it's not official or anything, but it's almost like they pick certain neighborhoods for those really big redevelopments we talked about.
And you can guess which neighborhoods often end up being chosen.
Yeah. It's often the areas that haven't had as much investment historically, maybe the places where residents don't have as much political clout to fight back against these big changes.
And the effects on those neighborhoods can be really, really tough.
Yeah.
We're talking about property values skyrocketing, longtime residents getting priced out, a sense of loss for people who might have been happy with their neighborhood gradually changing, but not this sudden, completely different thing.
It's displacement, basically. And then there's this whole other dynamic, this cycle of disinvestment that can happen in these areas that are seen as ripe for redevelopment.
Oh, I see what you mean.
It's like if people think their whole block might be bulldozed in a couple of years to make way for some big development, why bother putting money into fixing up your house, planting a garden, things like that?
It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. The neighborhood gets neglected because everyone's waiting for the wrecking ball, and then when it actually happens, it's like, see? It was run down anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And all of this feeds into those big community fights we see all the time about where growth should happen. It's part of what fuels the whole envy not in my backyard phenomenon.
And from what I'm getting from our sources, the indie thing is more complicated than it seems at first glance.
It is. We shouldn't just think of it as, those stereotypical grumpy neighbors who don't want anything to change. People in Deer Park, LaPorte, Pasadena, they have deep connections to their neighborhoods. It's where their memories are, their friends, their routines. And those big sudden changes, they can be really unsettling, almost like an assault on their identity.
So it's not just about resisting change for its own sake, it's about wanting change to happen in a way that makes sense for people, in a way that doesn't feel like everything familiar is being ripped away.
Right. It's like expecting a caterpillar to suddenly morph into a butterfly, you know?
Yeah.
There's a natural process of change that needs to happen, and it takes time.
So putting it all together, this old grand bargain, the idea that most neighborhoods stay the same while a few get radically transformed, it's not working. It's not fair, it's not financially sound, and it's creating all this resistance to the changes that we actually need to keep our communities thriving.
Yeah, definitely. And that leads to this idea of a new kind of grand bargain, one that recognizes that our communities, like anything that's alive, have to evolve. Have to change over time.
And the heart of this new approach is, well, every neighborhood needs to experience some change to gradually evolve. But, and this is the crucial part, no neighborhood should be subjected to that huge, overwhelming kind of transformation that we talked about earlier. It needs to be more balanced, more spread out.
Exactly. The idea is that these more incremental, gradual changes spread across the board, they can actually take the pressure off of needing those massive, disruptive redevelopments in specific areas.
So instead of having a few neighborhoods completely transformed while others stay frozen in time, it's more like everyone's moving forward together at a pace that's manageable.
Yeah, and think about the kinds of things that could look like right here in our local area.
Yeah.
It could be allowing things like backyard cottages or duplexes to gradually be added to those existing single-family home neighborhoods in Deer Park, LaPorte, Pasadena. Mm-hmm. It's not about wiping the slate clean. It's about adding to what's already there.
Right. Right. And, you know, we've got to talk about housing costs. It's a huge issue for people all over, including right here. And this new approach with these more incremental changes, well, that could be a key part of making housing more affordable.
Oh, absolutely. It goes back to that idea of a more responsive housing market, right? One that can actually adjust to the local needs and conditions. Like, if people in our communities are struggling to find affordable housing, the market needs to be able to shift and offer more options that are within reach. And this kind of gradual change allows for that kind of flexibility.
It's like instead of having these big boom and bust cycles in specific neighborhoods, you have this steady, gentler evolution across the whole community. And that's got to be better, both financially and socially.
Yeah, much more sustainable in the long run. And what's interesting is that this idea of incremental development, it's not actually new. It's more like going back to the way cities used to grow. Before that post-war era of big planned developments, cities evolved much more organically, with smaller changes happening over time as land values went up. You'd have smaller homes added here, existing homes expanded there, a more natural mix of things developing.
Right, and you'd end up with a wider range of housing options naturally emerging over time. But what we found in our research is that a lot of our current regulations actually make this kind of incremental development really hard to do.
Oh, yeah. We're talking about the zoning rules, permitting processes, financing hurdles, all of that. It's often much easier to get approval for those big sweeping projects than it is to do smaller, more incremental things.
Yeah, I've heard stories about people trying to get permission to add a small apartment to their property, and it's this huge, complicated ordeal.
Exactly. And that brings us back to this new grand bargain. It's not just about changing individual regulations. It's about shifting the whole mindset. It's saying, look, let's enable all neighborhoods to mature and evolve, to add a little bit of density where it makes sense.
So instead of drawing a line and saying, this neighborhood is for single family homes only forever and ever, it's about saying, okay, maybe over time it makes sense to allow a duplex here, a backyard cottage there, to respond to how the community is changing.
Exactly. And the really important part is this approach also protects those neighborhoods that have historically been targeted for those big disruptive redevelopments. It's like a built-in safeguard against that kind of upheaval. You know, change is happening a little bit everywhere. There's less pressure to concentrate it all in one place.
Right. And that brings us back to those big concerns around gentrification. This approach, with its focus on gradual change, could really help to mitigate that whole issue. It's not about saying no investment. It's about saying, let's make sure the investment happens in a way that doesn't displace people, that doesn't destroy the fabric of the community.
Absolutely. Investment is needed in every part of Deer Park, LaPorte, and Pasadena.
Yeah.
But it's those sudden, radical changes that cause the real harm. Not the gradual, incremental improvements.
And think about how this would change things for people who own homes in our community.
Yeah.
Instead of always worrying that your neighborhood might be the next one to get completely redeveloped, there's this sense that, okay, change is happening, but it's happening in a way that's manageable, in a way that I can adapt to.
It's that analogy we were looking at earlier about leaving your neighborhood for a decade and then coming back. You know, you should still recognize it. It'll change, sure, but it'll be like seeing a more mature version of someone you know, not like meeting a complete stranger.
That's a great way to put it. And the big picture here, the potential upside, it's huge. We're talking about communities that are more financially resilient, more livable, just more pleasant to be in.
You get right down to it, more prosperous.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, we've got to be realistic. This kind of shift, it's not going to be easy. Changing the way we think about neighborhoods, changing our regulations, that's a big task.
It is, but it's not impossible. A lot of the actual technical changes that need to happen aren't that complicated, like allowing duplexes and backyard cottages more easily, loosening those strict rules about lot sizes and parking. Those are things we can do.
Right. The nuts and bolts are there. The hard part is the mindset shift, getting everyone on board with this idea that change doesn't have to be a bad thing, that it can actually be a good thing when it's done right.
It's about changing the culture, really. And the crucial point is that the opposite of change isn't stasis, it's decline.
You mean if we resist all change, our neighborhoods will actually get worse over time?
Exactly. Think about it. If things stay exactly the same, but costs keep going up, services get stretched thinner, infrastructure gets older, eventually things start to fall apart.
So in a way, by resisting change, we're actually condemning our neighborhoods to a slow decline.
Yeah, it's like we're stuck in this dysfunctional grand bargain without even realizing it. It's there, it's operating in the background, shaping our communities.
And the first step to changing it is acknowledging that it exists, right? To start talking about it openly and to start thinking about what a new grand bargain could look like, one that actually serves everyone.
Exactly. And the core of that new bargain is simple.
Yeah.
Every neighborhood evolves, every neighborhood changes, but no neighborhood is overwhelmed. No neighborhood becomes unrecognizable.
So for our listeners out there in Deer Park, LaPorte, and Pasadena, we want you to take a look around your own community and think about this grand bargain that's at play.
Are you seeing that pattern of, you know, no change here, but radical change over there? Are there neighborhoods that are bearing the brunt of development while others stay pretty much frozen in time?
Think about the kinds of changes that are happening where you live. Are they small, gradual changes, or are they big, sweeping ones? And how are those changes impacting your community?
And this isn't just an abstract exercise. It's about empowering ourselves as residents of Southeast Houston to have a more informed conversation about our future. You know, what do we want our communities to look like 10, 20 years from now? And what role do we want to play in shaping that future?
So take some time to observe the different kinds of development that are happening around you, the big projects, the small ones, and think about what the long-term consequences of those different approaches might be.
And here's something to really chew on. What if every block, every street in Deer Park, LaPorte, and Pasadena experienced a little bit of positive change over time? What kind of impact could that have on the whole area?
How much more vibrant, resilient, and prosperous could our communities become if we embrace this idea of gradual, thoughtful evolution? It's something to really consider as we all think and act locally to shape the future of Southeast Houston.